president's clarion call for fast-track justice. The president says powerful remain fearless after crimes. She says victims live in fear and culprits roam free. The BJP chief questions the Kerala government over the Me Too row. JP Nadda says the left government is complicit in the Me Too rot. This is a left government is still silent on its MLA Mukesh despite a fresh case. Meanwhile, superstar Rajnikant evades a question on Me Too. After the RG Kar horror, Bengal nurse is assaulted in Birbhum. A patient allegedly molests a nurse on duty. Meanwhile, a 13-year-old patient has allegedly been assaulted inside the Howrah hospital. Slugfest over the Shivaji statue collapse. Sharad Pawar and Uddhav Thackeray protest on the streets of Mumbai. Reeks of arrogance, says Uddhav Thackeray of the Prime Minister's apology. This as the BJP says the opposition is making Shivaji an election plank. 8 people have died in the Vijayawada landslides in Andhra Pradesh. Meanwhile, a red alert for both Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. Schools and colleges have been shut in Hyderabad. Hello and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Centre, the Weekend Edition, and our big focus on the show this evening. More than 75 years of independence, is real justice still a pipe dream, particularly for the poor and the marginalised? The President of the country, the head of India's judiciary, pointed out some pain points within our justice system that still need addressing. As nearly 4 crore cases lie pending before tribunals across the country, the rate of disposal in fast-track cases remains abysmally low. Not to mention India's perpetual travesty of the law turning against the downtrodden and favouring the powerful disproportionately. With the President's clarion call for justice for all, on Left, Right and Centre this weekend, the justice delayed is justice denied debate. We ask, how do we reboot India's justice system? Well, before I bring in my panel, listen to what the President had to say.
जो बलात्कार जैसे जघन्य अपराध के मामले में न्यायालय के निर्णय एक पीढ़ी के गुजर जाने के बाद आते हैं तो सामान्य व्यक्ति को लगता है कि न्याय प्रक्रिया में संवेदनशीलता कम है भगवान के घर देर है लेकिन अंधेरा नहीं लेकिन देर कितने दिन तक कितना देर हो सकता है 32 साल 12 साल 20 साल 10 साल हम लोगों को सोचना चाहिए तब तक जिसको न्याय मिलेगा 32 साल के बाद शायद उनके चेहरे से मुस्कान ही खत्म हो जाएगा गांव का गरीब आदमी कोर्ट कचहरी जाने से डरता है वो बहुत मजबूरी से ही अदालत की न्याय प्रक्रिया में भागीदार बनता है उसके लिए एक बार गांव से दूर अदालत तक जाना ही बहुत बड़े मानसिक और आर्थिक दबाव का कारण बन जाता है ऐसी स्थिति में बार बार तारीख देने यानी स्टोगन की संस्कृति अर्थात कल्चर ऑफ अडजस्टमेंट से गरीब लोगों को जो कॉस्ट होता है उसकी कल्पना भी बहुत से लोग नहीं कर पाते एविडेंस और विटनेसेस से जुड़े मुद्दों पर न्यायपालिका सरकार और पुलिस प्रशासन को मिलजुल कर समाधान निकालना चाहिए कुछ मामले में साधन संपन्न लोग अपराध करने के बाद भी निर्भीक और निश्चत घूमते रहते हैं जो लोग उनके अपराधों से पीड़ित होते हैं वे डरे से हमें रहते हैं मानो उन्हीं विचारों ने कई अपराध कर दिया है महिला पीड़िताओं की स्थिति और भी खराब होती है क्योंकि प्रायः समाज के लोग भी उनके साथ साथ नहीं देते हम लोग व्हाइट कोट हाइपरटेंशन के बारे में जानते हैं और सुनते हैं बहुत से लोगों का ब्लड प्रेशर हॉस्पिटल का वातावरण में बढ़ जाता है मुझे लगता है कि इसी तरह सामान्य व्यक्ति का तनाव कोर्ट कचहरी के वातावरण में भी बढ़ जाता है इसका अध्ययन करके इस स्थिति को शायद ब्लैक कोट सिंड्रोम का नाम दिया जा सकता है
And joining me on the show this evening, Dr. Shama Mohammed, National Spokesperson of the Congress. Mihira Sood, Senior Advocate of the Supreme Court, is also with us. Also, Abha Singh, a women's rights activist and also a former bureaucrat. Sanjay Sahai, former ADGP of Karnataka, is also with us. I'll also be joined by Shehzad Poonawala, Spokesperson of the BJP. Going across to you first, Mihira Sood. Break it down for us, the fundamental flaws of our justice system, given the fact that it took the president of the country, the head of our judiciary, to in a sense point out these pain points and these fault lines within our justice system. Where do we lack, given the fact that we have so many fast-track courts already, but cases continue to lie pending before them for years on end? Mihira Sood, go ahead. Okay, we seem to have an audio issue with Mihira Sood there. We'll try and fix that.
Now I can hear you.
So my question to you was, break it down for us. Where do we lack? We have so many fast-track courts already, but cases lie pending before tribunals across the country for years on end. You know, fast-track justice still remains a pipe dream.
Sorry, please, can you move on?
Urgently fix that line with Mihira Sood. But Abhay Singh, come in on this, because one must also approach this story from the victim's point of view, given the fact that, you know, survivors and victims' families in many cases continue to await justice for decades. We see, high-profile accused getting bail, getting furlough repeatedly, and there is no intervention. Where do we lack, and what does it really mean for our victims and for the survivors' families? Because justice delayed, as the adage goes, is justice denied.
You know, I was hearing the president, and I'm happy that the president of this country has raised this important issue that it takes years and years to get justice in this country. 10 years. In fact, president is quoting a case of 32 years. And then on top of that, she says that the victims are harassed, because she's right. We don't have something called a witness protection program in this country. Witnesses are threatened. Victims are threatened. And that is why at the time of trial, they turn hostile. And she says that women victims are worse off. They land up with mental issues, health issues, because they don't get justice. Let me tell you, conviction rate in rape cases is barely 28-29%. And this is what the NCRB figures say. So when more than 70% of the rapists go scot-free, it really shows the justice system in poor light, that evidences are not there, the trial is slow, the victims are compromised, the witnesses turn hostile, the police is corrupt. So ultimately, it shows that there's something wrong with the justice system. In spite of strong laws like death penalty, in spite of the Criminal Amendment Act of 2013, after Nirbhaya, we've not been able to protect girls in this country. We have hashtags like Nirbhaya and Nirbhaya 2, which is a very sad state of affairs. And I think something really needs to be introspected upon. And we need a law commission to sit and only work on this in a time-bound manner, so that something actually comes out, rather than victims and families and supporters coming on the roads and doing dharnas.
That's right. Only. In fact, you talk about the disposal rate, and if you look at the cases pending before the fast-track courts, before the POSCO courts, for example, the average disposal rate is abysmally low. It's 28 cases a day nationally, and that's really something that we need to fix urgently. But Sanjay Sahai, come in on this point, because many a times it's said that, you know, justice and speedy justice can be assured only when there's a fair investigation and a fair probe. And so many times we see, particularly in high-profile cases, that the credibility and the sanctity of the investigation is compromised, particularly in high-profile cases.
See, there are two parts to the story. The first part, as you have already initiated, that it is a lack of quality education, quality investigation, which is leading to the nature of delay. Now, when it comes to quality education, quality investigation, so one should always think of the fact whether our investigators, our forensic ecosystem is competent enough to deliver the nature of investigation which is required. Take the case of a Calcutta case. In the Calcutta case, what has happened with the scene of offense or the place of occurrence? I think it is nothing much is to be told beyond whatever is there in the public domain. So our level, I've worked in United Nations a couple of times. The way they secure their scene of occurrence and the way we secure our scene of occurrence and the time we take to put our forensic team in place and the clarity which they have, I think there's a world of difference between the two as it stands as of now. Second point is the quality of forensic team and the forensic examination available at the district level and below district level. See, what we generally talk about is the state level and the national capital level. And when there is a big crime, you will have to push people from the state capital and the national capital. That is point number two. Point number three, in United Nations, you will find specialized teams and specialized investigative agencies, even for missing persons. We used to have a missing persons unit in one of the United Nations missions. Here for specialized women and offenses which have reached a level where it is becoming very, very shameful for a civilized society to accept. Still, we don't have specialized investigative teams as far as the crime against women and crime against children related in the same genre is created. Now, this is where we are. Now, from there, if you graduate to a full-proof investigation inclusive of technical evidence. Now, here the technical evidence also means what we have picked up from the scene of offense.
Yes.
And if the scene of offense is tampered, unlike in any other case, that evidence is done away with because it does not reach the investigative
agency. In fact, that brings me to the point of political complicity. In fact, you raise several important points, Mr. Sahai, there, including the fact that while, of course, we talk about political will and we talk about a compromised investigation, are our investigative agencies equipped enough and competent enough? I think that's a very important point that you make there. But coming to the aspect of political complicity, and let me bring in our political spokespersons here. Shama Mohammed, going across to you first. This is something that we see across states, as we were discussing on an earlier debate as well, that very often there is political impunity. In fact, this is something that the president said today in her address as well, that the powerful go scot-free. For example, what we have seen in the state of West Bengal, an India bloc ally, and I don't want to politicize this debate at all, but the point I'm trying to make is that very often we see that there is no accountability when the accused happens to be well connected, particularly politically.
Yeah, so you just said India bloc ally. Let me tell you about Nirbhaya and what the UPA government or the Congress party, we brought the Criminal Amendment Act in 2013. We fast-tracked the case and we gave in the Delhi High Court is death by hanging. But what happened? It went to the next government. It took 5 years for them to hang the criminal. So let's understand that. Now, if you want to politicize, then you spoke about, you know, the India ally there. What happened in Hathras? Who was cremated? No, let's go to all. See, I am standing for women and the rape victims. I do not want to politicize, but then I can bring in Hathras. What happened in Hathras? Kathua. We can go to Unnao. So we can go to all these where the BJP, they are all in BJP states. And I still remember what Yogi Adityanath said. Antarashtriya Shadyantra, international conspiracy. Rahul Gandhi and Priyanka Gandhi arrived there, protested. It went to the CBI and CBI clearly said, it is a high caste boy who raped and killed a Dalit girl. It was very clear what happened that day. So there was no Antarashtriya Shadyantra. Besides all this, what I want to say is, as a woman, I live in Delhi. When I'm coming from Gurgaon, if I take the MG road and come towards my house in South Delhi, I do not see any police patrolling. Let me make it very clear. Hardly any police patrolling. Where do you see police patrolling? In Golf Links area, where all the members of parliament or Lodhi estate or that area, you will see police patrolling. Number two is shoddy investigations. Because I can tell you number of cases where the investigation, like the court goes against the evidence put out there. They never seal the area, whether it is Calcutta or whether it is the Badlapur. Let's also not forget about what happened inside a school.
Yes.
And where a BJP government is there and they said it is politically motivated, the protests over there. Whereas in West Bengal, the protests are not politically motivated. I fail to understand how the BJP government is selective on rapes. What happened with the wrestlers? Internationally famous wrestlers protesting for 6 months.
Okay.
And the Prime Minister
let me get Shehzad Poonawala to respond to that. But you made an important point, Dr. Shama Mohammed, earlier about police reforms. And I think that's an important part of the debate. And I'll get Mr. Sahai to talk about that as well. Because ultimately, you know, we've been talking about police reforms for years, but nothing has really happened. But Shehzad, your quick response to Shama Mohammed and also the larger debate around political complicity. Because very often we see that, you know, leaders go scot-free, given the fact that, I mean, mean, we had that graphic on air right now, which shows how Brijbhushan Sharan Singh, who has been charge-sheeted, he has, of course, not been arrested yet. Many other cases, I mean, what happened in the Bilkis Bano case was an absolute travesty of law. So, I mean, we see this kind of political complicity.
And Gurmeet Ram Rahim, cases. Let's not forget
yes,
Gurmeet
Ram
Rahim.
We have those details on air, Shama. Shehzad Poonawalla, a quick response. Yeah, Shehzad, go ahead.
Will I be allowed to speak like Shama was allowed to speak without
Please
any
go ahead,
interruption?
Shehzad.
Or will she start interrupting?
Go ahead, Shehzad.
Okay. First of all, to conflate what has happened in West Bengal, where the Supreme Court has come down heavily on the institutional and systematic cover-up which was done right from the moment go, where the hospital authorities misled the parents, kept them waiting, the FIR was delayed, Kapil Sibal, former congressman, currently Samajwadi Party MP, was laughing in court. The manner in which the police allowed the crime scene to be vandalized, the manner in which there was a tampering of the evidence and the case paper, which was accepted by the Supreme Court. And then the Chief Minister, who happens to have mamta in a way, showed absolutely no mamta towards the victim's family and even towards the doctors who are protesting. And her ministers were on a spree trying to blame and trying to shame protesters and the victim. I think if somebody wants to conflate that with any other incident, it only shows a lack of intellectual honesty. It shows bankruptcy at the very least. Having said that, because Madam mentioned Katua, just a one-point intervention. In Katua, forget the case, just the case. Even the person who supported the rapist, Lal Singh, was kicked out by the BJP and he was promptly given a ticket by the Congress party. By the way, he was in Rahul Gandhi's rally 2 days ago. The same Rahul Gandhi spoke up about Unnao. I congratulate Rahul Gandhi for speaking up about Unnao. But do you know, Unnao Kuldeep Singh Sengar, despite being an MLA of the BJP, was convicted in 2 years flat. Now Shama Mohammed needs a fact check on Nirbhaya. Please wait, Shama, wait for a turn. Be patient. Shama Mohammed said that we fast-tracked the entire Nirbhaya matter. The Nirbhaya matter finally got conviction from the Supreme Court in 2020. And I don't blame Shama Mohammed's government for
okay.
that. It's not Shama Mohammed's government that's to blame. Let me put a larger point. In the Nirbhaya matter, the charge sheet was actually filed within 1 month, which is a good thing. Even in other matters like Hathras or other places, the charge sheets were actually filed very quickly by the investigating agency, be it the CBI or the police.
Okay.
The problem is that the judiciary has... Let me just complete my point. Why are you in such a haste?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm giving fair time to everyone, Shehzad, but go ahead and complete your point and then I'll bring in the other panelists.
Why are you putting pressure
on me? Go ahead.
Why are you putting pressure on me?
Go ahead, Shehzad.
But the point I'm trying to make is that, of course, political parties, governments must take accountability because there is, as in the case of West Bengal, sometimes institutional cover-up. But I also think that the judiciary must pick up its share of the weight when investigating agencies,
okay.
be it Nirbhaya case,
that's an important
cases,
point. In fact, if you look at some of the data there, and let me bring in Meera Sood, waiting very patiently on this. Meera Sood, the question that I asked you earlier, many a times it's said that we need more fast-track courts, but we already have fast-track courts. The fact is that the rate of disposal is abysmally low when it comes to these courts, and you know cases lie pending for decades on end. Where is really the flaw? Of course, we spoke about you know preventive justice and you know sort of police reforms at that level, but at the judiciary level, where are we lacking?
See, more than fast-track courts, we need to fill vacancies. We need many, many more trained judges. We need to increase the capacity of the courts in terms of judges and daily hearing capacity. You know, beyond a point, you know, you can eliminate unnecessary delays. But beyond a point, you cannot shorten the trial. There is a certain length of time that a trial will take, even minus any delays that are caused by judges, lawyers, police, even if you cut those out. There is a certain length of time that a trial will take. So what you need is to increase the capacity of the courts in terms of hiring more judges. You need to train more judges. You need better trained people. You need to incentivize more people to become judges at the lower court level. You need to provide that kind of training. You need to provide round the year, training, sensitization. We have new criminal laws in place now. Those also you need to have constant training. You need better infrastructure. You know, it's not some, these are not always cases where you have a lot of physical evidence. A lot relies on testimony and corroboration. And, you know, there is data, for example, I mean, just to give one small example, that if the testimony of the victim, there is audio video recording of her initial testimony, you know, then there is a correlation there of a much higher conviction rate, right? Because the incident is fresh, able to recount detail, all of those things are there.
Yes.
But many districts lack facilities for audiovisual recording. You know, that's just one small example. So we need to improve, awareness about collecting evidence.
Yes.
About medical examination, about the fact that medical examination is not something that is going to be intrusive.
So that's
that
an important
medical
point.
Examination is necessary, that you
so
should not...
So sensitization,
you know,
of courts.
Natural
I think people. That's an important point to raise. Sensitization of courts, while of course the issue of vacancies is extremely pertinent, but Abha Singh, come in on this, particularly when we look at cases of the rapes of minors, for example. Are our courts sensitized enough to deal with such cases?
You know, courts are sensitized, judges also realize it, but the issue is there are so many cases, voluminous cases, and they go on and on. And what happens is sometimes the government pleader is not there, or if the defense, you know, some way or other, the board collapses or it doesn't reach. So, and what was the purpose of a fast track court? That in a span of one sitting or maximum in a month, you fast track the matter. But as you heard, that even after courts giving judgment in 1 month, the hanging in Nirbhaya case took place after 10 years. So that period, and that is why the president said that you, why we are taking so much time. So I think the Supreme Court, Justice Chanchur, who is very active in these issues, he needs to look into it, set up a committee that actually gives a time frame.
In
like
fact,
now,
he's spoken about time-bound justice multiple times.
No, but like now, BNS has also mentioned that if twice date is not coming up and the advocate is taking time, then it would be taken ex-party. The other side would not be given an opportunity to speak. So, till the time such cases are taken like this, we need really some strong measures, because otherwise, I have seen victims coming from far off places. Either the judge is not sitting, or the advocate has not come off the other side, or there is some problem. People come from far off districts and go back without even their case being heard.
And you made an important point about the volume of cases, because if you look at the data on the Supreme Court, the pending cases is at an all-time high of 80,000, but the disposal rate is still above 90%. So we can imagine the volume of cases, that even at a high disposal rate or relatively high disposal rate, it's difficult to really look at all cases. But Sanjay Sahai, coming quickly on the aspect of police reforms, we've spoken about it at length multiple times, but on both the levels, at, you know, at the level of preventive justice and also at you know, the level of investigation.
See, first and foremost, this 2006 Prakash Singh case, so that has been a landmark and a watershed Supreme Court judgment, which could have revolutionized policing in a manner which the people want. So a complete lack of political will, and more than the directives of the Supreme Court being implemented, what the governments have tried is to put their clutches even stronger on the police. Now, if the governments are really interested in controlling the police as far as the law and order and intelligence and variety of other things are concerned, let them do it. There is no problem about it. The problem is where they want to control the investigation. Why they want to control the investigation is a different question for a different day. And we have people who have been embroiled in criminal cases. I will not say suspect or accused, but they have been embroiled in criminal cases much beyond the numbers what we see in the public domain.
Yes, that's a pertinent point. Yes, and in fact, you spoke about political will, and of course, that is extremely important. And Shama Mohammed and Shehzad, quickly, I'm running out of time on the debate. But, you know, have we set the wrong precedent as politicians when it comes to justice for women? Shama Mohammed and then Shehzad.
So for us, from our party, I don't remember anywhere where we have done injustice. For Nirbhaya, we got in the Criminal Amendment Act. Now here, he points fingers at Rahul Gandhi, who was campaigning for serial rapist Prajwal Revanna, the Prime Minister of India. When Bilkis Banu's rapists were left loose, I must say, remission given by whom? Without the central government's permission, since it was a CBI case, they couldn't have come out. After they came out, they were garlanded, and they were campaigning for BJP candidates. Let's understand that. And they killed Bilkis Banu's child, raped her mom and dad, and mom and sister, and killed multiple people in her family. Hmm. Let's understand the gravity of the situation. Okay. And one last point. I admit what happened in Calcutta is horrendous.
Yes.
She gave the case to CBI. Okay. There were a lot of lapses there. Whereas in Hathras, they were not even ready to give the case to CBI until Rahul Gandhi and Priyanka Gandhi protested over there.
Okay. So that's an important point, Shehzad. I'm completely running out of time. Shehzad, a quick response.
Let's not forget
last 30
about,
seconds to you. Your point is taken, Shehzad.
Brijbhushan and Sharan Singh. Prime
yes.
Minister has been quiet.
Yes. Shehzad, a quick response. Go ahead.
I will take the amount of time that the Congress has been given. If you have a problem, then I won't speak.
Please go ahead, Shehzad.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Did the Mamata Banerjee government hand over the case to the CBI or did the High Court transfer it? You are allowing a national spokesperson to lie on a channel like NDTV. Anyways, that is not prerogative. Secondly, let me come to the point that the Congress party.
What happened in UP?
Let Shehzad have his share. I'm completely running. Shehzad, go ahead. Shehzad on the screen, please. Shehzad, go ahead.
Shehzad has become an escapist today.
Go ahead, Shehzad.
Thank you for giving me this courtesy. First of all, I don't even want to get into the fact that during the Sikh riots, there were thousands of but the Congress party never even allowed for investigations. Now, Jagdish Naik has been charged for some crime. So let's not get into that. Mm. Let me make a few larger points.
Hmm.
The first fact is that the BNSS has now put a timeline as to the investigation that has to happen in 2 months, trials have to happen in 2 months. I think that will push the judiciary to take steps. In certain cases like West Bengal, fast-track courts have not been activated. For instance, they were supposed to activate 123. They only have 7 till now. So there is a problem in some of the state governments also, but the judiciary too needs to pick up the tab. For instance, it's a male-dominated judiciary.
Okay.
Judiciaries operate in a political and societal environment. Just last 10 seconds.
Mm.
And the problem is that our political and societal atmosphere often tends towards victim shaming, and therefore the judiciary too takes
yes.
a matter of rape very carefully.
Okay.
And therefore that needs to be avoided as well. And
okay.
finally, to my dear friend Shama, in Ayodhya, a 12-year-old girl was raped by Mohit Khan. Pray you may say one word about Mohit Khan.
Okay. I mean, if you go into the details of the cases, of course, you've had political
will.
Parties.
I'm telling you, I will.
Okay, let's not make it into a Shehzad versus Shama debate. We'll have many more debates to sort of discuss this. But thanks all very much for being with us. I'm completely running out of time. And this, of course, remains one of our top focus stories on NDTV. Thanks so much for watching. Good night.